This is Jay Sekulow, the Rick Warren Forum on the presidential nominations and an update on international matters. Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everybody. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Pastor Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, engaged in what I consider an incredibly important debate, and that was the discussion, really, more of a dialogue, on their, but involving both presidential nominees, the presumptive nominees, Senator Obama and, of course, Senator McCain, covering a vast array of issues. I've posted to bleepnet.com, you can also go to the ACLJ website and link to it, some analysis of this. It covered a whole host of issues, including abortion, including Supreme Court justices, good and evil, international issues as well. So a really well done forum. I thought that both candidates were given an opportunity to speak, and we have a much better understanding of where they are and what their worldviews are. Now, let me ask you this question. If you watch the debate, I want to get your comments, or it's really more of a forum. I keep calling it a debate. It really is a forum. Give us your calls and your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The Saddleback Forum this weekend it aired on CNN and Fox, a lot of other networks as well. Tremendous impact, I think, it had. And I think it'll be more to come in the days ahead. What are your comments about it? 1-800-684-3110. Now, we're going to play some clips during this broadcast of the debate. But I want to make it clear, as we always say, we're not endorsing or opposing any candidates for public office here. What we're telling you is what the candidates said on the positions. And that's one thing, Jordan, was very, very clear in this debate.
It was. There were some questions going into this debate, whether Rick Warren would get into those controversial issues. He had made some comments before the forum that he may not get into those wedge issues. And he did it in the appropriate way. He covered just about every single issue important to evangelicals, even new issues that are becoming important to evangelicals. But he still maintained and went through those traditional issues that people care about, protecting life, fighting evil in the world, all of those issues covered in this forum. I think it was very interesting to hear the differences in response from Barack Obama and John McCain.
You know, interestingly, the issue, and we're going to get into the abortion issue and some of the others, but there was an interesting discussion of Rick Warren asking the question, does evil exist, and then Barack Obama's response. Let's take a listen to number 4 and 5 here.
Exist, and if it does, do we ignore it? Do we negotiate with it? Do we contain it? Do we defeat it?
Evil does exist. I mean, I think we see evil all the time. Mm-hmm. We see evil in Darfur. Mm-hmm. We see evil, some sadly, on the streets of our cities. We see evil in parents who viciously abuse their children. Mm. And I think it has to be confronted. It has to be confronted squarely, and one of the things that I strongly believe is that we are not going to, as individuals, be able to erase evil from the world. That is God's task.
Contrast that statement about evil, and not really answering the question directly there, to Senator McCain's response on the question of does evil exist, number 13 and 14. Take a listen to this.
Defeat it. A couple of points. One, if I'm president of the United States, my friends, if I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. I will do that, and I know how to do it. I will get that done. No one should be allowed to take thousands of innocent American lives. Of course, evil must be defeated. My friends, we are facing the transcendent challenge of the 21st century, radical Islamic extremism.
There's the answer, in my view, to what the question was. For Darfur, obviously, is evil, and we're seeing that. But again, it's radical Islamists that are causing the evil. Same thing. And Jordan, you just came back on a very important case. We've got just a few seconds here. I thought Senator McCain's answer on radical Islamists was absolutely correct.
When we really dove into this issue now with the OIC and all of these issues, we have realized how bad of an issue this is and how this is the defining issue probably of my generation and even current generations living. This is the issue that will affect us for years and years, tens and hundreds of years to come.
I'll tell you something, folks. I think this was a well-asked question, and both candidates gave you their answers. I think that we're at war with radical Islamists. John McCain said it, so did Justice Scalia. Let's go, and I want you to add your name, by the way. If you haven't added your name to that petition going to the UN on those radicals, you add your name right now, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 month of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Does evil exist? And if so, should we ignore it, negotiate with it, contain it, or defeat it?
Defeat it. A couple of points. One, if I'm president of the United States, my friends, if I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. I will do
this. Is strong language from Senator McCain. Now, let me kind of give you the 2 points here. One is that's the question, does evil exist? And that was the response of Senator McCain to that question. Let me now play for you again, because I want to give both sides here. Here's what Senator Obama said. We'll hear the question again. This is number 4. Then we're going to hear the response, and I'll come in at some point and explain.
Does evil exist? And if it does, do we ignore it? Do we negotiate with it? Do we contain it? Do we defeat it?
Evil does exist. I think we see evil all the time. Mm-hmm. We see evil in Darfur. Mm-hmm. We see evil, sadly, on the streets of our cities.
This tells you, here's what you got, folks. These are two very different worldviews on how you define evil. I mean, I think we all agree that Darfur is evil. But the context and the way it was said, I think, points out a very, very different and, I think, significant difference between these candidates. I want to also say this. Jordan's just come back from the United Kingdom, where we were looking at a case involving this evil that they were talking about, these Islamic radicals. And give us a quick update. Then we're going to get to a lot of the calls coming in. I'll play some more of these sound bites.
It is a situation, folks, where if you become a Christian, if you leave Islam in any of these countries in the Middle East, basically, that are controlled by Islamic law, Sharia law, your family, without fear of prosecution, can kill you. That's it. That your neighbor can kill you, your family can kill you, your brother can kill you, your sister can kill you, your uncle can kill you. Anyone who thinks that they are doing honor to your family by getting rid of your life, by killing you, is able to do so without fear of prosecution. The reason so many of these Christians who were Muslims are seeking refuge in places like the UK is they say that this is the grim reality they are facing. It's not that my family still won't try to kill me. It's that if they kill me here, they know they're going to have to go to jail. Where if they do it back in my home country, it's much easier for them because they don't have any fear of prosecution. This is coming out all over the world. A court in Malaysia today denied a woman's appeal in Malaysia to become a Christian. She was an Islam for marriage purposes, wanted to become a Christian. They said once she became a Muslim, she lost her Christian identity. It ceased to exist. These issues are happening all over the world, and they go to courts in these countries where you've got imams and Sharia law judges deciding these issues.
Here's what you got, folks. We're fighting this, and as we talk about this in the presidential campaigns, we're you at the American Center for Law and Justice, our friends and members, are helping us fight this at the United States, at the United Nations, rather, on this issue of the defamation of religion. We're fighting those evils that these candidates were talking about. But I need you to add your name to this petition. We got to get to over 100,000 signatures. We want to stand up to not just Osama bin Laden, but this organization of the Islamic Conference. Here's the phone number. You add your name right now as we talk about these issues. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Let's go ahead and get a call.
Debbie's calling from Ohio on line one. Debbie, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Debbie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for putting me
sure.
on. You know, I just wanted to say that, well, whatever they want to call it.
It was a forum.
Is the civil forum that they had clarified for me better than anything else so far as to what the positions are. I appreciated the questions that were put forth. Those were things that I, as a Christian, wanted to know, and it came right from the horse's mouth, so what better place? You can't say anybody's twisting their words. You're hearing it for yourself, what they believe. And the cream rose to the crop for me. I know who I'm going to vote for now. I did not know before this. Commercials don't do it. Debates sometimes do. But this was excellent, and I wish they would let more churches across this nation, or I wish more churches would stand up and do this.
I think Rick Warren, number one, I agree with you, Debbie, did a fantastic job. And I think it even can go beyond the church now. You could have other institutions. Maybe one of the, like the NAACP, could do one in the same kind of forum and discussion to discuss racial issues. But I think Rick Warren did, and I was concerned about it. I posted on our BeliefNet.com blog that Barry Lynn and I do, where we point counterpoint each other. I expressed my concerns that were the right questions going to be asked. Jordan had mentioned that that was a concern. There was some serious concern about that issue.
I think Rick Warren's making the decision in the final days before this forum whether to go into the issues like abortion directly, whether to go into those issues that some people say are wedge issues, some issues say are so clear with the candidates it didn't need to be discussed. But it did need to be discussed because, like you said, Debbie, so many evangelicals from across the country, and really this was a forum for evangelicals specifically tailored to fit the issue that they wanted to hear about from the candidates, like you said, from their own mouth. And those kind of issues had to be discussed. I think Rick Warren realized that, and he did the right thing by asking the tough questions to both candidates.
Let me play something on the abortion issue, folks. This is, first, again, we'll go in the order that we're going in the order that the candidates presented during the debate. I think that, or the forum, that's a fair way to do it. Rick Warren is going to ask a question about abortion, then we're going to play some of Senator Obama's response.
40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. You know, as a pastor, I have to deal with this all the time. All of the pain and all of the conflicts. I know this is a very complex issue. 40 million abortions. At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, you know, is above my pay grade. Let me just speak more generally about the issue of abortion, because this is something I obviously the country wrestles with. One thing that I'm absolutely convinced of is that there is a moral and ethical element to this issue. And so I think anybody who tries to deny the moral difficulties and gravity of the abortion issue, I think, is not paying attention. So that'd be point number one.
He then goes on in point number two to state that he wants the abortion rate, the number of abortions to be reduced. Let me play number three for you. Again, these are a bit longer, but I'm trying to be fair here and show you what's exactly going on here.
But point number two, I am pro-choice. I believe in Roe versus Wade, and I come to that conclusion not because I'm pro-abortion, but because ultimately I don't think women...
There you have it. I mean, he goes then and explains why, but he's very clear and very honest about his position. Let's contrast that right now with Senator McCain on the issue of abortion and when life begins. Here's the question number 11 and the response number 12.
40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. Some people who believe that life begins at conception would say that's a Holocaust for many people. What point is a baby entitled to human rights?
At the moment of conception. I have a 25-year pro-life record. In the Congress, in the Senate, and as President of the United States, I will be a pro-life president, and this presidency will have pro-life policies. That's my commitment.
Yeah, here's what you got, folks. This is two very different views on the abortion issue, and I appreciate Senator Obama's honesty, saying he's in favor of Roe versus Wade and is pro-choice. I appreciate the honesty of Senator McCain. Now, I have a pro-life position. We advocate a pro-life position at the ACLJ. I'm just letting you know what I think this kind of discussion, and that Rick Warren allowed this discussion and these nominees to get into this in depth, was tremendously advantageous for everyone.
It was. I think this is a very important. Of course, we're looking at information now that abortion rates are declining in the U.S. as new procedures. A lot of that probably from President Bush's administration, the work that's been done there as well. And we know Barack Obama very clearly did not try to hide his issue, said he supports Roe versus Wade. There's an article out today that he is actually supports more abortion rights legislation through the Senate and House and through his time in government than even NARAL does. I mean, he's been more supportive of abortion than the National Abortion Rights Action League. And I don't think he tried to back away from that at all. Where Senator McCain is true, his voting record on abortion, very good. He doesn't talk about it as much publicly. This is one of the first times he really got into it for any amount of time. But when asked the question directly, he responded.
Yeah, I'd say both candidates, they put their positions out there. Let's go back to the phones. A lot of calls. This was a very positive forum.
Sandra's calling from New York on line 6. Sandra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. You're on the air.
I'm just telling the young man I listened to the whole forum. I gave up watching the Olympics just to listen.
What were your thoughts, quickly, please?
Senator McCain was very succinct and for each question, and Mr. Obama just rattled on and on and on.
Yeah, part of that is stylistically. John McCain, Rick Warren said this during the forum, was answering the questions in such a quick and direct clip kind of way that he was going to run out of questions. Senator Obama giving longer answers. But you got to give both candidates credit. We do for participating in this forum. Like I said, there's a dialogue up right now. If you go to beliefnet.com between me and Barry Lynn, it's the blog's called, by the way, Lynn versus Secular Politics, Religion in the Public Square. You can go to aclj.org and then link right over to it at BeliefNet, or you can go right to the BeliefNet website. And we take two different views on this. Very significantly different views. But again, we'll get more into this. We've got more clips to play. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. As we go to the break, Jordan, you just came back from the UK. You're working on the situation with the Organization of the Islamic Conference. You're helping a former Muslim who's become a Christian in a very important case. We need people to stand with us here.
As Senator McCain said, this is the evil that we must face throughout our time, folks. We want you to stand here and fight on this issue. Call right now, 877-989-2255 to engage this issue directly. Folks, we need you standing with us. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
For many of us, college didn't happen when we thought it would. We got busy with jobs, family, life. But that doesn't mean a college degree is out of your reach. You don't have to put everything else on hold to go back to school. As a Regent University student, you can take all your classes online. Sessions begin every 8 weeks, so you can fit your class schedule to your life schedule. With degrees ranging from global business to religious studies, you'll get the education you've always wanted in a way that fits your life today. Regent offers both 2- and 4-year degrees. And with more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. Visit ApplyToRegent.com. or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
Which existing Supreme Court justice would you not have nominated?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I would not have nominated Clarence Thomas. I don't think that he. I don't think that he was a strong enough jurist or legal thinker at the time for that elevation. Mm-hmm. Setting aside the fact that I profoundly disagree with his interpretations of a lot of the Constitution, I would not nominate Justice Scalia, although I don't think there's any doubt about his intellectual brilliance, because he and I just disagree. He taught at University of Chicago, as did I, in the law school.
You know, here's the interesting thing, and, you know, again, direct question with a direct answer, but to say that Clarence Thomas was not qualified to serve on the Supreme Court of the United States because he was not a strong enough jurist or legal thinker, it's one thing to disagree with judicial philosophy, and here's the irony of this. Disagreeing with judicial philosophy is a basis upon which a president should not, you know, when making their nominations, they get to consider the judicial philosophy. They have the right to know the answer to that question. But to say that Clarence Thomas was not enough of a legal thinker, basically a legal scholar, was outrageous. And he compared, they said, now Justice Scalia, I wouldn't have appointed him either, but he was really smart. But, you know, not Clarence Thomas. And that's I was very surprised. I thought it was, frankly, a cheap shot.
Unfortunately, I think this comes a lot from the African-American community, too, especially on the left, is what you see is this attack on any of those who are considered somewhat kind of traitors because they're not Democrats, because they're not hard-lined to the left. And Barack Obama clearly did that when he pointed out that Clarence Thomas was unappointable. But, of course, he saved himself there by trying to cover that Justice Scalia, though he disagreed with, was a very smart person. That is a nasty attack on someone. I think that could be the most damaging thing. You know, you always talk about after forums. Right. What do they say that could be damaging later? And that is going to be the most damaging comment Barack Obama made that entire forum.
Yeah, about Clarence Thomas' intellect. That was, I thought, a really cheap shot. Interesting. Let me play you the same question that was asked to Senator McCain. We'll play the question and then the answer.
Which existing Supreme Court justices would you not have nominated?
With all due respect, Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Souter, and Justice Stevens.
Interestingly, two appointed by a Republican president, two appointed by Democratic presidents. That was Senator McCain's statement. Now, again, based on judicial philosophy, there's the distinction. Also, I think, and I posted this again, it's at beliefnet.com, or go to the ACLJ website, you can get the link to it. In my blog, I posted about that. I think it's ridiculous, the nature of what's happened here. But again, I think ridiculous that they would challenge his intellect, Clarence Thomas' intellect. I thought that was truly unfortunate. We've got a lot of calls. We're going to try to get to as many as we can.
Sherry's calling from Idaho on line 3. Sherry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jay. Again, God bless you.
Thanks.
For your whole organization.
Thanks.
I mean, I don't know what we did before you guys. We didn't know any of this stuff. But I'm 53 years old. I have a 32-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And I had my 14-year-old boy listen to this with me on the radio.
Sure.
Because I said, honey, you're voting in the next presidential election. I explained to him about the judges. I said, you know, they're going to be in there till you're my age. You know?
Right. Exactly and, correct.
Yeah. And so we, you know, first, I said, I was 4 years old when JFK got elected president, so I've seen a lot, as you have too, probably. But still, I said, I have never in my life heard any politician, either party, answer questions as directly as John McCain did. It was just like, yes, no, this is what I believe. I said, you know, some people aren't going to vote for him, but you know where the guy stands.
Boy, I mean, that's one thing I'll say. I think both of them got a chance to explain themselves. Senator McCain, I think, clearly was the most direct in his response. But Senator Obama explained his positions, whether you agree with them or not, and I posted that in some of my postings. The fact of the matter is, they did get to speak their piece. There's no doubt about that. We appreciate the call, Sherry.
Dean's calling from Texas on line 4. Dean, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
First I'd like the whole idea that Pastor Rick Warren was asking questions that all Christians want to know. And I think that helped me to figure out what senator I'd like to vote on. And another thing, it really showed us which candidate was responding like more like a faithful Christian. So I think Christians need to look at that. And another thing was, I believe the...
How did you like the format? What do you think, Dean, of the format? The fact that they were allowed to discuss it without the constant interruption, without the kind of gotcha question. I thought the format was great.
Right, yes, I did like that as well. And another thing was, I believe that Obama went to law school. So that was probably another reason why he was able to pull on the questions and avoid certain questions as well.
Well, I think it's a different style. I think stylistically they're just different. I think that whatever you agree or disagree with the candidates' positions, they both were able to explain themselves. Let me play another clip talking about judges. Rick Warren asked a follow-up question to Barack Obama. It's number 9. This was about John Roberts. I'll give you an interesting analysis when we're done with it. Take a listen to Rick Warren's question and then the answer.
Which existing Supreme Court justice would you not have nominated?
How about John Roberts?
Yeah, you know, John Roberts, I have to say, was a tougher question only because I find him to be a very compelling person, you know, in conversation individually. He's clearly smart, very thoughtful. I will tell you that how I've seen him operate since he went to the bench confirms the suspicions that I had and the reason that I voted against him. And I'll give you one very specific instance, and this is...
Yeah, and that was on presidential powers. And interesting there, he voted against John Roberts. Now, how could you say John Roberts was not well qualified to be a Supreme Court justice? Now, here's the difference. Senator McCain, who understands he wants conservative judicial appointments, he says his favorites are Roberts and Alito, actually voted for Ginsburg and Breyer when they were up for confirmation before the Senate. His answer was, why? Why did he vote for him? Because he thought it was the president's prerogative to nominate and appoint, and his role in the Senate was to advise and consent based on qualifications, not judicial philosophy in that regard. And, of course, Senator Obama basically taking the other position, saying he voted against Roberts. Why? Because of the situation on judicial philosophy. So two different views of how the president and the Senate interact with each other. I think, again, I think Senator McCain was more faithful in that regard to the Constitution. But look, Senator Obama put his position out there, clearly.
Let's go back to the phones. Howard's calling from Florida on line one. Howard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, Jay. I don't think Obama was very decisive, and he is unsure of himself. I do have more of insight on both candidates. The only thing I didn't like about McCain was his view on marriage.
Well, yeah, he was on the marriage issue. He said he would not really favor the federal marriage amendment because he's a Federalist. A lot of people take that view. But look, that's why these kind of forums are important. Let's try to get one more call if we can in, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Ben's calling from Texas on line 6. Ben, very quickly, you're on the air.
Hey, Ben.
Hi, I was late to the broadcast. I was wanting to know, how can I see this entire forum online, or how can I get to it again?
I encourage you, check out BeliefNet, because that's an interesting debate between Barry Lynn and my dad on the issues. But if you want to watch the entire forum, it's foxnews.com. They've got it up online. Just go to videos. You'll find it right there. Of course, this is Making Ben News. So, Ben, if you want to check that out, foxnews.com. And I also encourage everybody to check out BeliefNet to read Barry Lynn and my dad, all the comments going back and forth about how they thought the forum went.
Yeah, great information up there and great analysis, folks. As we're closing the broadcast out, Jordan's going to close us out here. You need to understand, just came back from the UK. This case that we're dealing with, these are people that came from Islam to Christianity. We've got to stand with these people.
As Senator McCain said it, folks, in the forum, we've discussed it on air. What is the biggest evil facing our time, facing our country at this time? Islamic radicals. We are in the midst of this battle, folks, and we are engaging it head on. We've decided at the ACLJ and the ECLJ and around the world to engage this issue. We want you to stand with us as we fight for it here in the United States, at the United Nations, and around the world. Call right now, 1-877-989-2255. That's a toll-free number to call right now, 1-877-989-2255. And I encourage you to go to aclj.org and get involved in this issue online, or call 877-989-2255.